You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast on this Friday, May 18th, 2018. I am John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe to it. You can do it on iTunes or Spotify, and leave the show a positive review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. On yesterday's show, I mentioned an article written by Albert Breer this week on Sports Illustrated's website, and it went into incredible detail about the Jets' pursuit of Sam Darnold, the way they scouted him, and it was a multi-year process, and you learned a lot about, if you read it, you learned a lot about just how much the Jets loved Darnold and the steps that they took along the way, the things that they learned about him along the way, the entire process. It's one of the great pieces of sports writing in 2018. I think it's one of the best articles you will read on any topic in sports this year. And I've been thinking a lot about it over the last 2 days or so. And today what I wanted to do was discuss the article, and more than discuss the article, talk about what I learned about the Jets front office, how they executed this the plan to that ended up resulting in the team drafting Sam Darnold. And I think there were some positive things that I take away from the way the front office operated, and I wanted to share with you. And you know, before you listen to this, I strongly encourage you to read the article. It's really an incredible read. I really can't recommend it highly enough. And I'll say this. This front office has had its share of struggles during its tenure. I think, you know, you look at the job they've done, there have been some good moments, there have been some good decisions, but there have been more struggles. There have been more decisions that haven't panned out. So I think what I've been looking for is something to give me hope. And there are lots of things that I saw from the Jets' pursuit of Darnold that give me hope. And I do really wonder, is this a turning point for this front office? Is this the moment we remember where they started to really get this franchise moving in the right direction after some early struggles? And that happens. You know, it does happen sometimes. You get off to a slow start. It doesn't necessarily mean you're finished. Doesn't necessarily mean it's impossible to turn things around. Sometimes it just takes a little while to get things moving in the right direction. And again, I wonder, you know, and I, you know, you hope that this is the sign of bigger things and better things to come for this franchise. So let me share with you some reflections that I had that encouraged me about the direction of the front office, because this was a big move. This is a move that, if it pans out, it undoes a lot of the sins. You can forgive some of the other mistakes that have been made. It's a potential franchise changing pick. The first thing that stuck out to me is quite simple, and it's just that the Jets had a plan. You read through the article, and everybody wants to get a franchise quarterback, but they executed a plan to try and land that franchise quarterback. And you know, there's a famous expression from another field that I'd rather have a flawed plan than six different plans. It's important to have a plan, and you know, you look at the way NFL teams operate. They have different philosophies. One team does things this way, another team does things that way. You know, the Patriots like players who are very versatile. They like to change their scheme from week to week. Other teams like to stick with their scheme, so they look for players who fit that. So, you know, you can be successful either way. It's just important to have a plan, to understand what you want to do, and have a roadmap to get there. And the Jets executed a plan in their pursuit of the quarterbacks in the 2018 class, and Darnold in particular. And what was interesting is that they decided to not draft a quarterback in 2017. They decided to focus all their attention on the 2018 class. And I think a year ago I mentioned that I'm not a big believer in operating that way personally, but just because you disagree with me philosophically, that doesn't necessarily make you wrong. That's just how I view things. You know, you may view things differently. And there was some risk involved with that move, and the Jets acknowledged that risk. there was no guarantee. You know, the three guys they were focused on a year ago, Baker Mayfield wasn't really on the radar at that point. He kind of played his way onto the radar during the season. The three guys they were focused on were Darnold, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, as the article states. And all three of those guys could have returned to school this year. So there's no guarantee they were going to be around. And the other risk involved is that they may have regressed. They may not have played as well. You see, it's not that uncommon to see a guy who's getting first-round consideration a year away from the draft go out there, have a bad last year of college, kind of knock their stock down. So you had to account for that. And obviously, if any of those guys had a bad year, the odds of them returning to school would have been higher. And if they came out, maybe they wouldn't be first-round picks. So there's risk involved. It's very tough to project a class from a year out. But the Jets decided to follow the plan. They had conviction in the plan, and that's important. And that's one of the things that helped them land the quarterback. And again, at the risk of sounding obvious, it's important to have a plan. You see teams frequently just kind of flail about aimlessly. They aren't really sure what they're doing from year to year. So I appreciate the fact that the Jets front office decided this is what we're going to do, and we're going to stick with it. And everything became focused on executing that vision, executing that plan. The second thing I appreciate about the Jets' pursuit of Darnold and these other quarterbacks is just the work that they put in. And the article discusses that they made a conscious decision that we are going to scout these quarterbacks this year harder than you typically scout players at an early stage, because they wanted to have as much information on these quarterbacks as humanly possible. There was actually the article starts with a discussion of how Maccagnan took something from his wife back in 2014. His wife mentioned how well she liked the way Teddy Bridgewater projected himself in interviews. And Maccagnan said, essentially, his takeaway from that was that you can get information on a guy from any source. You know, his wife's not a professional scout, yet he kind of took that, and because his wife said that, he decided to take a look at the interviews himself. And obviously, interviews are not the most important thing when it comes to quarterback, but the quarterback's going to be the face of your franchise. So it's something you take into account. How is he going to be able to handle himself in public? So it's one of the things that they kind of took to is just being thorough, you know, trying to get information from any source. And sometimes that meant going to games, watching them live in person. It talks about how Maccagnan took a red-eye flight from a game from a college game where he was scouting a quarterback prior to the week one game against Buffalo. He got 1 hour sleep because he was at a game Saturday. He took a red-eye flight to Buffalo, got about 1 hour of sleep, and the Jets played Sunday afternoon. So it shows you the commitment the Jets had to being thorough, to gathering as much information they could on these prospects. The article discusses how Maccagnan was constantly at a game of one of these big-time prospects every Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening. He was putting the work in, and that helped the Jets have success because as the article states, the Jets believe that they got their draft board done before other teams did. And they got their draft board done before they typically do when it comes to the quarterbacks. And that's the type of thing that allowed them to trade up. It's the type of thing that allowed them to say with conviction, there are three quarterbacks in this class that we like. We're okay with trading up to number three overall. That was a good thing, because essentially what the Jets' view was is that they didn't think a team like Buffalo had their quarterback board done as early as they did. They felt like Buffalo was still, at the time the Jets were making the trade, Buffalo was still kind of putting together their thoughts on the quarterback class. The Jets were already done because they had done such thorough work. So they said, okay, we can trade it for three. Buffalo was still trying to figure out what they wanted to do. The Bills weren't really sure. So if you're not really sure what you're going to do, if you're not sure there are three quarterbacks you're comfortable with, you might wait to make that trade, because you have to figure out who you're comfortable drafting before you make any sort of deal. So the thoroughness paid off in that the Jets were able to move up. The Jets were able to make the trade, grab the third overall pick, and that's what put them in the position to grab Sam Darnold. Another thing that I really came away impressed by the Jets is how quickly they pivoted away from Kirk Cousins when Cousins, and we all remember the pursuit where Cousins was not willing to guarantee them that he'd visit them after he visited Minnesota. And that from that point, apparently the Jets just kind of moved on. And that was good. You know, the Jets didn't sit around on plan A, hoping plan A panned out. They moved on when they felt like Cousins wasn't going to give them the type of attention that they deserved. You know, Cousins was kind of, you know, Cousins wasn't ruling them out, but he was he kind of gave them signals that Minnesota was his first choice. Minnesota was going to get the first crack at signing him. And the Jets decided that, I mean, what they really decided was they weren't going to be, and Breer does not explicitly state this, but I got the feeling that the Jets decided, you know, we're not going to be used as leverage for Cousins. You know, if Cousins wants to go to Minnesota, we're not going to just let him use us. We're not just going to sit out there so Cousins can say to the Vikings, well, I'll go to the Jets if you don't meet this offer. And again, it doesn't explicitly state that, but that's kind of the feeling I got, where the Jets kind of realized they were being used as leverage. So they didn't sit around and build their entire offseason around something that didn't have great odds of happening. Once they realized that Cousins was not coming to them, they decided to move on. They didn't wait for it to become official. They just said, you know what, this is not going to pan out. We're not going to be caught, you know, we're not going to be caught sleeping here, just hoping, pining after Cousins. We're not going to, you know, commit, you know, we're not going to have unrequited love for Cousins. We're just going to move on. He doesn't want to be here. He doesn't have to be here. We're going to get to our next plan. So that impressed me. It was decisive decision-making. They stopped on a dime. They turned their attention to this trade up with the Colts. And something that really impressed me, something I really like to see out of Mike Maccagnan, is he was not afraid to delegate a lot of this to Brian Heimerdinger, one of his lieutenants. And I think that's just good leadership. You have to have people you trust. First of all, you have to have good people. You have to have capable people, people who are able to do things effectively. And you have to be able to trust them and empower them. And it was striking the extent to which drafting the framework of this trade was delegated to Heimerdinger. And that's just a good management technique. And you constantly heard through the grapevine that this was something that McCagnan's predecessor struggled with. That, you know, the guy who was in the job before McCagnan liked to do things his own way and really kind of, and I don't have any hard data on this. It's just kind of something you heard through the grapevine. It always sounded like the previous general manager did not like delegating. He liked to run everything himself. And a job as big as general manager in the NFL, you have to be able to delegate. You have to be able to delegate because the job's just too big to do everything yourself. And if you try and do everything yourself, things are going to start falling through the cracks. So I like the fact that McCagnan was willing to and was willing to trust one of his people. You hire somebody for a reason. If you hire somebody, you ought to be able to trust them to do the job, because the whole reason you hired them is that you think they can do the job. So I was impressed. I like the fact that McCagnan was able to delegate such a big task to one of his lieutenants. When the Jets made the trade, there were some people who didn't like it. I think most Jets fans were excited about the trade, but there were some people who didn't like it. They gave the Jets grief about really two things. And now I got to give grief right back to those people, because I didn't agree with those folks at the time. One of the criticisms I heard was that the Jets did not even call the Giants to ascertain about the availability of the second pick. They just went straight to the third pick. Now, obviously, they called the Browns one overall. They found out the Browns weren't trading the pick. And, you know, there were reports that the Browns apparently asked for a ton. What that meant was that the Browns weren't trading the pick. When you're in that situation, if you're in the Browns situation, you don't want to trade the pick. You don't necessarily say no. You just make a ludicrous offer that will scare the other team off, because, you know, you never know. Maybe the team will accept the ludicrous offer. But when the Browns demand the moon back, that's a sign the Browns weren't going to trade the pick. Jets did not ask the Giants about two overall. They just went straight to the Colts, and people gave them credit. Well, how can you not be diligent like that? That's not due diligence. And, you know, they said stuff like that, and I didn't agree with that, because I didn't think there was any chance the Giants would ever facilitate the Jets grabbing a franchise quarterback. That's just, if you understand the dynamics between the two teams, it's just not going to happen. And I'm not saying that's necessarily how I would run my organization. I'm not saying it's necessarily smart, because I don't agree with running your team that way, but I just don't think that the Giants would ever help the Jets get a franchise quarterback. So the Jets moved on to three, but people still said, well, what would have hurt if the Jets had called the Giants? You know, what damage would have been done? And we found out that and it's actually rather obvious, is that Dave Gettleman, the Giants GM, was kind of a mentor to Brandon Bean, the Bills GM. They worked together in Carolina when Gettleman ran the Panthers. So what the Jets didn't want to do is, even if the Giants weren't going to trade the pick, it's not necessarily that the Giants were going to trade the pick to the Bills, but they didn't want the Giants tipping the Bills off that, hey, the Jets are trying to trade up. You should get on the phone with the Colts. The Jets kind of wanted a surprise attack. So, you know, if you got on the Jets for not calling the Giants, I don't think you may not have considered that, and I think it's something that's worth considering. And the other issue was just, I'm going to try and not go on a side rant on this other criticism of the Jets that happened at the time. People got upset because the points didn't add up for the Jets. And it's the old points chart, which assigns a certain number of points to every draft pick. And the Colts apparently got more points than the Jets during this trade. And there's nothing scientific about that chart. It's arbitrary to suggest that a franchise quarterback is not worth 3 second-round picks. It was just ludicrous. I'm on the verge of a side rant, so I'll stop. Anyway, the part of the reason the Jets were willing to give up more points was obviously due to the fact it was a franchise quarterback, but it was also they also put that on the table so that the trade talks would be confidential with the Colts, so that the Colts wouldn't start talking to other teams and say, well, hey, the Jets are offering us this. They kind of made a deal, and it helped facilitate the trade. So again, it's the type of thing that just shows you how thorough and how smart the Jets were through this whole process. And really, that's what put the Jets in position to draft Darnold. And everything else just came down to luck and timing. And I'll tell you, that's life. You know, I don't care what it is, whether it's your career, whether it's your dating life. You can only do so much. All you can do is put yourself in good positions. And if you put yourself in good positions, things will work out more often than not. And it all just comes down to luck and timing, though. Sometimes you do everything right and things don't work out. In this case, it did. It was the Jets' time to have luck. It was the Jets' time to have timing. And now they have a new franchise quarterback. And we'll see. Again, I'm not putting Darnold in Canton just yet. But I think if you're a Jets fan, it's fair to be very excited, because this is a great prospect. This is a guy who has a chance to be a really special quarterback, a really special player. And the front office, I don't think you can say enough good things about the job they did to land this franchise quarterback. And again, there have been some struggles, but this could be a turning point. And this is the type of move, if you get it right, it undoes a lot of bad things. It's the type of thing that really could change a franchise. That'll do it for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, your two best bets. And leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Hope you have a great weekend. We'll be back next week.